When it comes to seed starting, the internet tells me to trim onions, top my tomatoes, remove tomato suckers, and plant seeds in a certain direction, all to ensure the success of my garden.
And to that, I call bullshit. This is why I will never go viral. I never have anything theatrical to tell you guys. Science is always very boring, but that changes here today. We're gonna go viral. Starting off with taking our tops off. Jokes aside, topping your tomatoes, should you or should you not?
Well, turns out that the topping of tomato plants has shown 3 benefits: more branching, higher yielding, and better quality of tomatoes. A study published in the Journal of Agriculture and Crop in 2019 called The Effects of Spacing on the Performance of Hydro-Grown Tomatoes Under Tropical Conditions showed that topping a tomato with 6 leaves yielded the best results, and anything under 4 actually resulted in worse yields. In 2021, a study called Influence of Topping and Space on Growth Yield and Quality of Tomato Under Greenhouse Conditions also showed better results.
And this, folks, is where we use the famous line, scientific studies are not a scalpel, they are absolutely a hammer. And by this, I mean topping your tomatoes in a climate where you are unable to sustain prolonged periods of growth, aka a greenhouse, topping is not going to benefit you. So in one extreme, we have Canada and the northern US, where it's a nice short summer, and that short summer definitely will not translate into a plant being able to catch up after you top it if you start it at the moments you're supposed to start them at. The other side of this is anywhere that's super duper hot, you can't keep the tomatoes cool long enough to be able to get the results, you also will not benefit from topping. Now, if you have the ability to control your climate with a greenhouse, then absolutely you can benefit from the topping process. So the nuance to this is that I think you should be your own garden scientist, as I always say, geek crew, and actually go in and try this with some tomatoes, but most definitely not all of them. The reason why it actually increased the yields along with the quality is because there was 2 factors in both of these studies. One was topping, which resulted in more branching. And number 2 was actually the spacing. There was quite significant space in between the tomato plants. The branches yielded more space for reproductive flowers to grow and then in turn fruit. And the spacing allowed for the tomato themselves to grow uninhibited by any sort of spatial crunching, and therefore resulted in a larger diameter fruit. So what about the suckers? I'm all for getting rid of dead weight, but you may choose not to after hearing the results of this one study.
The Journal of Biosciences and Agricultural Research published a study in 2017. It was called The Influence of Sucker Pruning and Old Leaf Removal Effects on Growth and Yield of Cherry Tomatoes.
So before we get into the depth of this study, we need to look at what they're speaking about when we talk about old growth versus suckers versus the control. So simply put, everyone was spaced the same regardless of what prescription they were getting. The sucker removal is simply removing of the sucker. And if you don't know what that is, it's simply the leaf, the stem, and then sometimes there's like this other stem kind of peeking out in between. These tomatoes were obviously indeterminate and not determinant, because when you have a determinate tomato, you never want to actually remove those suckers. You want to leave them in place at all times. Now, the old growth in the study was specifically referencing leaves that had turned yellow, were damaged, and they very clearly were not contributing to photosynthesis any longer for that plant. And the control was where all the leaves were left on, whether they were new, old, suckers, you name it. The results I found interesting.
Let's first look at the flowering time. The control took 30 days to flower, the old growth took 25 days to flower, and the one where the suckers were removed was 21.7 days.
So what that means is that exactly 8 o'clock at night on a Tuesday, the sucker plant finally did put some flowers on. I'm just joking. But what it does tell us is that the removal of suckers causes a chain reaction. And this chain reaction is simply the plant deciding it's stressed out and therefore needs to reproduce. And that's why it produces flowers much earlier than a plant that's just kind of left to its own devices. Like most women nowadays, instead of producing babies at 21 through 25, we wait till we're 30. And shockingly enough, It's because we're more stressed out. So the next factor to look at is actually the number of flowers. So the control resulted in 30 flowers. The old growth had 20 flowers and the sucker removal had 20 flowers. And now, of course, not all those flowers turn into actual produce because we all know that as gardeners. And so the actual flower to plant fruit making ratio was that the control had 19 fruits, the old growth had 15.3 fruits, and the sucker had 22.7. Next is to actually look at the size, and this is where we start to realize why we see greenhouses with these super stripped down versions of tomatoes, because their goal isn't just to produce food, it is more specifically to produce food that is very uniform and perfect looking. And big tomatoes are something that is desired. Humans, we're very predictable people. So the control was 33 millimeters across, and it was the smallest. The suckers were 35.1 millimeters across, but the old growth removal plans were 37.6, the biggest.
When they looked at the average yield from one plant, the control was 315.9 grams, the old growth was 368 grams, and the sucker removal was 381 grams.
So to break this all down, the one that had the suckers removed had a slightly marginally smaller fruit than the one with the old growth removal, but it did produce more volume of fruit, meaning it had more of a certain size throughout the entire plant, yielding more fruit technically. Old growth had the biggest, but the second largest amount of actual produce by weight per plant. And the no suckers resulted in the smallest fruits, the lowest harvest, but the second highest number in total number of fruits to be formed out of the 30 flowers that it produced. Before you go ahead and say, "Ashley, see, you removed the suckers," let's just step back a bit. The sucker removal plant did yield a larger number of tomatoes, and they were of a substantially large size, which then resulted also in the highest yield by grams. But the old growth one, we left those suckers in place. All we did was remove the old and diseased leaves from that plant, which resulted in larger sized fruits and just marginally less grams per plant. If you are canning and making tomato sauce and you have to peel a lot of tomatoes, you will very quickly realize that larger fruits, even if one plant produces slightly less, is much more desirable when it comes to your time and processing these suckers. And obviously, you don't want to just leave diseased or old leaves on a tomato. The results from that study actually show us that the control was the worst case scenario. But if your goal is to have more fruits individually that are slightly smaller, then you may actually choose to remove the suckers. And this is why a lot of greenhouses that are producing food for the grocery store remove the suckers, because they can get more actual individual fruits that are just marginally smaller in diameter. So again, it kind of comes down to what your goals are. And as always, this rule does not apply across the board. This was very specific to just cherry tomatoes. So this does not mean that it could translate into all tomatoes. And more specifically, it doesn't translate into every possible climate, because this was done again in a greenhouse under a production environment, which means you gotta be your own garden scientist. Test out, see what works for you. So let's discuss whether or not you should trim your onions. Oh, this is so satisfying. I shouldn't be doing this. Once you hear the study results, you're gonna be like, "What? Why did she do that?" Because it's fun, okay? So if you haven't heard of why people cut their onion tops off, is because it supposedly increases the bulb size. The study done in 2022 by Norkabash and Comer called Onion Plant Size Measurements as Predictors for Onion Bulb Size found three major predictors. Number one is sheath diameter. And the fact that my mind went where it did when I said sheath just goes to show you I've been reading way too many romance fantasies this winter, and I probably need to get outside. All my reader ladies out there, you know what I'm talking about. Bride by Allie Hazelwood. I'm pretty sure that's where I heard that word. But the sheath of the actual onion literally means the leaf
size, like the diameter. Number two was the height of the plant when it comes to the leaves. And secondly was actually the number of leaves that the onion produced or supported. Now, were those three factors positively or negatively correlated? I'll let you take a guess. If you're a good Geek Crew member, you probably guessed correctly. Positively correlated. Positive means that when those numbers increase, the bulb numbers increase as well. Now, the question is why? And the answer is photosynthesis. Leaves produce all of the energy the plant needs. A plant cannot exist without photosynthesis, without leaves. And when we remove these leaves, particularly for onions that are not very leafy to begin with, we actually reduce its potential for storage, because that's what that bulb is doing. It's storage. And once we reduce its ability to increase that, we obviously get a smaller bulb. Now, what I will say, and this was not mentioned in the study or any of the studies I really looked at, is that the planting process of getting these guys outdoors. In theory, it sounds like a good idea to leave all the leaves intact, but I personally will say it is incredibly difficult and in some cases impossible to do, because when you go to transplant these leaves will get stuck in the soil and they will rot, and it causes more damage than if you were to just do an initial cutting and then kind of let the plant navigate growing more leaves after that bout. Now, I've heard this multiple times, and over the years I have tried to go without clipping my onion tops, but every time it fails, just solely because soil will end up suffocating the leaves in a way, whether it's from heavy rain or improper watering or just simply the process can't. Those are onions. Do you like onions? Aki poo-poos. Do not stand in there. You had to come into every video. This is why we film in the plant room, so that you cannot be disruptive. So it's your choice as to whether or not you want to cut the tops off or leave them on. Try it. See if you can transplant with the tops on. If you notice that they're getting covered in soil, you may want to pivot and change your tactic. You need to leave. Last tip is seed positioning. All men know that position matters. Turns out seeds have a very similar brain capacity, and they know it matters as well. For me personally, I never thought of it as something to think about. But you as a gardener can actually make that choice.
Okay, Geek Crew, you're gonna have to watch this video right here if you wanna learn more about the idea of seed placement and the difference it makes on germination, because this section of the video was so long, it warranted its own video, and it's already come out, so it's a very quick click. Just click right here. Otherwise, thanks for watching. Bye.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Should GLP-1 weight loss medication like Wegovy and Zepbound cost thousands of dollars? We don't think so. Try LifeMD.com helps provide insurance access to the leading GLP-1 medications. Visit TryLifeMD.com and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0. Listen to Bridget's story after losing 55 pounds and using her insurance for coverage.
LifeMD helped me get covered with my insurance. Finding out that it was covered was huge. I've lost 55 pounds. I am so much healthier now that I've lost the weight. I would never be able to do it without them.
Get started today and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0 at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.